Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, three men have been extradited from the Republic to the North as part of an investigation into a machete attack at Lisnaski in Fermanagh almost 7 years ago. A Letterkenny councillor says the impact of active travel works on local businesses must be addressed before any increase in commercial rates is considered. Volunteers at Clay Park and Hub condemn the significant damage caused to the facility in recent times. And planning permission has been granted for 9 homes in Lough Inniu with hopes that they can be used for social housing. Later in the bulletin at around 6:15, we'll have sports news with Oisin Kelly, and after that, farm news with Chris Ashmore. Good evening. We begin with confirmation today that three men have been extradited from the Republic to the North as part of an investigation into a machete attack in Fermanagh. The PSNI say the incident occurred at a house at Lisnaski in November 2019. The men aged 55, 33 and 29 are wanted to stand trial for offences including grievous bodily harm, aggravated burglary and possession of offensive weapons. They appeared at Newry Magistrates Court this morning. Police in the North worked with Gardaí to trace, arrest and return the suspect. A Letterkenny councillor says the impact of active travel works on local businesses must be addressed before any increase in commercial rates is considered. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly is calling for a review of the works taking place across the town, claiming they've already proven to be a disaster and warning that the worst is yet to come. Speaking on today's Greg Hughes show, Councillor Kelly said preliminary discussions on Budget 2027 are already getting underway, but he believes any proposal to increase rates would be impossible to justify while businesses continue to be affected by traffic flare-ups.
What I personally want to see is every business in Letterkenny booming. But unfortunately, I'm getting calls from businesses stating clearly that the footfall through the door is consistently getting worse and worse and worse. And now, we have Donegal County Council at the minute, and they're looking for ourselves as council to increase the rates. I mean, it's unbelievable. And how could you put rates up on any business at the minute in Letterkenny with the suffering that they're going through?
Volunteers at Clay Park and Hub have condemned significant damage caused to the facility in recent times. The allotments, park and pods have all been damaged under cover of darkness, with the group saying a huge amount of time, effort and dedication has gone into creating these spaces for the benefit of residents and young people. The damage has prompted an appeal for parents and carers to speak with young people about respecting community facilities and the negative impact of this type of behaviour. Speaking to Highland Radio News, spokesperson Nicola Mahan says it's incredibly disheartening, especially as the amenity is entirely volunteer-led.
They came down the other morning and that was all damaged and it was all thrown around the park, and then we continued to go through the park then. The fence was also broken and the pods were damaged. This has been going on a few weeks now, and it's just basically appealing to the parents to have a stern word with the children, the youths involved. And then there's also other complaints about people going through the village with motorbikes and no helmets, no nothing on. Just a wee bit of antisocial behaviour we're having at the moment. And we're just urging parents, please speak to your children. As you know yourself, our community is, it's volunteer only. We don't have council coming and fixing things or doing anything like that. Anything we do, it's volunteers that does it.
And that really, I suppose, rubs salt in the wound, because all of the work that had been done out of passion and out of wanting to be better for the community.
The ladies and gentlemen who are involved in the allotment have put in a lot of work, you know, under this, and like even posting the pictures of what they're making and things like that from the allotment. And for us in the park and the community hub, the work we've put on, the securing the park, securing the pods, and paying for the pods, because it just doesn't come naturally. So it's really sad then when we look on and see the damage of what is being done.
And that was Nicola Mahan speaking there to Donna Marie Doherty. The unemployment rate for July rose by 5% compared to June, according to the Central Statistics Office. 149,900 people aged between 15 and 74 were unemployed last month. There was a rise of 2,600 in the seasonally adjusted figure when compared with last July. Income tax receipts increased by nearly 13% last month when compared to the same period last year. The €3.3 billion figure is a rise of €0.4 billion on July 2025. Tax revenue at the end of last month totaled €59.6 billion, an increase of 6%. Finance Minister Simon Harris says the figures are further evidence of the resilience of the economy. Planning permission has been granted for 9 houses in Lochinure. The application submitted by Charles Rorty will see a mix of 2, 3 and 4 bedroom homes developed in the Lochinure housing estate. In March of this year, the same contractor delivered 29 turnkey social homes for Donegal County Council in Gwydor. It's understood talks are ongoing for a similar arrangement for this new project. Councillor Micheál Cullen-Aspic says this suite of work, along with others in the west of the county, will provide a significant boost in the area.
I'm encouraged. I have to say that there is a programme now out there, that there's been quite a number of houses being built. We see now, hopefully shortly, more houses, 24 houses being built at Station and Kirch in Filcara. We're looking to get word of the houses out Ballanshapel, which has approval, but we're waiting now to see who will build these houses. So there are a lot of projects on the way now, and we have to bear in mind that only came about by pressure from the wider community.
Irish Stone has been appointed to restore 4 historic war memorials by Derry City and Strabane District Council. The works will take place at the Diamond in Derry City Centre and also in Castle Derg, Sign Mills and Strabane. The project is supported by the Special EU Programmes Body through the Peace Plus Programme. A stolen motorbike has been recovered and 2 teenagers arrested following an incident in Gallia in Derry. Police on patrol first became aware of the bike at around 6:30 last evening. Using drone technology, officers tracked the motorbike as it was allegedly being driven dangerously at speed along footpaths before it was located in the Lennonmore area. 2 teenage boys arrested on suspicion of offences connected to the incident have been released on bail as police continue their inquiries. Drone technology also being used by the Lochs Agency. The Lochs Agency continuing a crackdown on illegal fishing just a week after issuing a warning about Atlantic salmon. An illegal net was seized across the backwater on the River Foyle in recent days. 4 salmon were killed. The agency says advanced surveillance technology played a crucial role in that operation, with drones equipped with thermal imaging helping fisheries officers detect an active poaching crew and locate the illegal net, despite what they call challenging conditions. Meanwhile, another illegal net was detected across the River Derg in Ardstraw. On that occasion, no fish were found. A government review into the classroom structure is being met with mixed reactions. It's understood the Department of Education is set to examine proposals around changing the current school hours. With more, here's Jessica Woodlock.
The typical primary school day runs from around 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock for junior and senior infants, and until 3 o'clock for the older students. A Department of Education review could change that, with suggestions being made for different finishing times and a longer lunch period. These people have mixed feelings on the issue.
I think that's fine as it is.
The days are probably too long, especially maybe from junior infants up to third class.
Our kids went to school in the UK and they finished school at 3:30, I think, junior school, and they started at 8:45 every day and had plenty of time for lunch.
Educate Together principal Simon Lewis says it wouldn't be a simple change.
We would have to make major changes to the structures of schools. I don't think any school has a dedicated lunchroom. That's the first little step that we'd have to take.
The classroom structure in primary schools was last updated more than 30 years ago.
Temporary traffic controls are being put in place on the N15 at Lahey for the next 10 weeks to facilitate essential roadworks. Road users are being asked to follow all traffic management measures and allow extra time for their journeys. Donegal County Council is thanking drivers for their patience and cooperation while the works are being carried out. Donegal County Council is being urged to seek additional funding for its winter gritting programme ahead of a review of the routes which are covered. The issue was raised at a recent meeting by Councillor Fiona Bradley, who says, while it may seem strange having such discussions at the height of summer, it's too late to start the conversation when the temperatures begin to drop. Councillor Bradley acknowledges that every member will have routes they want to add, but says as a start, every road leading to a school in Donegal should now automatically be added to the programme.
That is the nature of the business of the council and the business of politics, that there are tough decisions. But this is a bit different to maybe other topics that we would debate in the chamber, in that, not to put too fine a point on it, the winter maintenance programme really can be a matter of life or death to ensure that roads are in a safe condition to be driven on. My ask was a significant one, and it's that the road, the main road to every school in the county, would be added to the Gritton programme. The vast majority of them are currently, but a number of them aren't, including the Ellies National School. And I do believe that any road that has a primary school or a secondary school on it should be included on the Gritton programme.
The comment that came back from the engineers was absolutely, we'll discuss this, but the funding is limited. If we are to do this, we're going to have to take money away from other routes. There is nothing on that programme at the moment where someone can say, well, they don't deserve it.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, and listen, it's a case that we're going to have to go wherever we have to go, in my opinion, to get additional funding for our winter maintenance programme, be that from the council's own resources if we have to rejig things within the budget, or indeed go to national government and go to the Department of Transport to ensure that our maintenance budget matches the need that is there. And in my opinion, there are a number of places in my own MD and in my own electoral area that are not been gridded, that should be gridded, including the Bray Road, the Ellies National School and the Upper Road in Dunree.
And that was Councillor Fionn Bradley there, speaking to us after a recent meeting of Donegal County Council.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find your perfect running gear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Approaching quarter to six. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with football. Derry City have confirmed Niall McGinn is joining interim manager Mark Connolly's backroom staff in a coaching capacity. The former Northern Ireland international who played for Derry will be available to assist with both the first team and the academy at the Brandywell. Connolly is in temporary charge following the departure of Tiernan Lynch on Wednesday. Derry play Sligo Rovers tomorrow, looking for a seventh win of the season. On to European football and early kickoffs today in the Europa League qualifiers. Rangers are in Poland. They are taking on Jagiello Unani Białystok. And Rangers trailing there by 2-1. They went 1-0 up through an OG, and that was in the fourth minute. At on 13 and 21, the home side then scored a brace as they lead by 2-1. On to the Conference League. Motherwell are in Finland taking on Helsinki. They're also heading to half-time in that game, and that one is currently scoreless. It's a huge night for Irish clubs, Bohemians and Shelburne. Bohemians midfielder Jordan Flores is expecting a much tougher European tie than they've faced so far this summer. They've knocked out teams from Gibraltar and Kosovo in the first two rounds of the Conference League qualifiers. Tonight they face Danish side Midtjylland, a club which they played in the Champions League group stage just five seasons ago. But Flores is confident that they can reach the playoff round.
Anticipating a tough game. It really is going to be a tough game. You know, we've started our preparation on them. We've watched them. We can see where their strengths are. They've got good players. They're quite powerful. They're quite direct. But we can also see areas in their game where we can exploit them. Places where we can hurt them. And yeah, we're going into the game with full belief that we can win the tie over the two legs.
That first leg is 7:45 tonight at the Atalas Stadium. Shelburne face their biggest challenge in Europe yet as they gear up to face the mighty Ajax in the Conference League third round qualifiers. Manager John Russell says his team are excited for the challenge ahead tonight.
Obviously we're not expected to come and turn Ajax over, but it's important that we try and keep ourselves in the tie and bring it back to Talca Park. But what a challenge for the players, for us as staff, to compete against them.
That match gets underway at 7 o'clock this evening. Elsewhere in the Conference League qualifiers, Hibernian are hosting KF Shenjaya of North Macedonia at 8, and the Europa League qualifiers, Hearts in Portugal as they face Benfica, also from 8 o'clock. UEFA say FIFA president Gianni Infantoni's apology over plans to sell off the World Cup changes nothing, and it's still threatening a boycott. But Infantino has the backing of many African nations. Jim Boyce, former president of the FA in Northern Ireland, says UEFA holds a lot of power.
If UEFA stick to what they're saying, and if the European countries back UEFA in that, quite honestly, it won't work. Because, as I say to you, FIFA competitions without European teams in it, to me, is impossible.
In athletics, Tyrconnell's Ethan Dewhurst will be in action later at the World Under-20 Championships in Eugene, Oregon. He will go in the opening round of the 400 metre hurdles at around 6:45 Irish time. That's 10:45 Oregon time. Aaron Freelift, Letterkenny, will run in the relays on Sunday. In Gaelic Games, Cork captain Joe Muscala has won the 2026 Electric Ireland Minor Footballer of the Year award. He is one of seven Cork footballers honoured on the Team of the Year. Beaten finalists Tyrone have six representatives. They are James Maguire, Aidan Curry, Thomas Gallen, Charlie Mayne, Matthew Daly and Vincent Gormley. In Golf Stay, one of the Wyndham Championship today, the final event of the PGA Tour's regular season. Waterford's Seamus Power is the only Irish golfer taking part, and he tees off within the next hour. Finally, this evening on the Score programme, which will be live from Highland Motors Showroom in the Mountaintop in Letterkenny, we'll be looking forward to the opening weekend of action in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Club Championships. I'll be joined by former Dr. Maguire Cup winners from St Union's, Brendan Kilcoyne and Barry Meehan. Plus, on this week's League of Ireland chat, we'll be speaking with former Harps skipper Keith Cowan about the managerial happenings around Derry City and Finn Harps while previewing their respective games against Sligo Rovers and Bray Wanderers tomorrow as well. It's all part of the Score programme after the 7 o'clock news this evening, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, it's a Thursday. It's approaching 10 to 6. That means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwool's Kilmacrennan. Paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
Hello and welcome along to this week's Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. The Tullamore Show and FBD National Livestock Show is Ireland's premier agricultural event. This year's event takes place this coming Sunday, that's the 9th of August, and while it may be a fair trek down from Donegal, many do make the effort and it's certainly worthwhile. Each year, the show attracts the best cattle, sheep and equine breeders from all over the country, alongside entrants for its other 1,000 plus competitions with a total prize fund of more than €180,000. Indeed, it's Ireland's largest one-day show, averaging 60,000 visitors in recent years, with 700 trade stands from agri sectors, home industries, farm produce, innovation, forestry, agri-machinery and much more. Well, one of the features of the show is the Sustainable Livestock Village, and to tell me more about that, I've been joined by Pádraig Brennan, who is the project manager for this initiative. Pádraig, great to have you on the programme. Just maybe outline, first of all, what the Sustainable Livestock Village is all about.
Thanks very much for having me, Chris. Really, the Sustainable Livestock Village, which is going into its fourth year this year, actually, it was set up, I suppose, with very much in mind that there was a lot of conversations around sustainability and what sustainability meant and didn't mean. And I think we got the view from listening to farmers and that there was a lot of confusion. So we set up the Sustainable Livestock Village very much with the focus of let's try and provide practical guidance, practical advice and deliver farmer-led discussions where farmers can share their own experiences around different topics of sustainability in terms of practices that are recommended to introduce onto a farm or hear from the experience of farmers who have introduced them. So really what we want the Sustainable Livestock Village to be is a source of practical conversations where people can come and meet all the relevant organisations under the one roof. So this year now we have 11 organisations involved with us and we're delighted to say it's growing every year. And there's three main areas that we're focusing on in 2026. Number one, this year being the International Year of the Woman Farmer, we want to highlight the role of women in agriculture. We want to revisit and put a stronger focus on the importance of generation renewal and the next generation of people coming into farming. And we want to continue to focus on those practical solutions, whether that's around carbon footprinting, water quality or nature. So they're the three things that we're looking at this year.
People, no doubt, when they are there and they see and learn about various things that are going to be on offer, it all helps to stimulate debate and enables people to sort of maybe look forward and see just what opportunities as well as challenges are there.
Absolutely, Chris. And I suppose the one thing we're very conscious of when it comes to sustainability, there's a number of dimensions to sustainability. We always nearly naturally go to the environmental aspect of sustainability, which is absolutely critical. But there's also an economic aspect in terms of farm viability. There's a social aspect in terms of the next generation of farms coming through, rural communities and all of that as well. So we try and keep that broad focus in terms of all aspects of sustainability, but front of mind for us is keeping it really simple. So, for example, this year on water quality, we have a focus again on that as an issue, which is a big challenge for us as a sector and as a country overall. But it's very much about what do you do in terms of the margins that you're leaving in the field, fencing off areas, and where can you get support, guidance, and a little bit of financial support, actually, to implement practices on your farm that can make sure you're playing your part to protect water quality. Likewise, we'll have ICBF there on the day, talking about the importance of genetics from a productivity point of view and what that can do in terms of lowering the carbon footprint, more productive and ultimately more valuable animals over time. So really, as interactive as we can make it, is what we're trying to deliver, Chris.
There'll be a series of short talks throughout the day. So again, people can benefit from maybe hearing from things that they possibly never had heard before.
That's right, yeah. And as I said, there's a couple of areas like this year, for example. One of the topics we actually have is, we're stripping it right back, is why does sustainability matter? Because, you know, farmers have been asked to do a lot and are already doing a lot on their farms. But sometimes you get the question, well, does it actually matter? Like, I'm only a very small cog in a very big wheel, if you like, when it comes to this. So really what we're trying to do is look at it. Well, why is sustainability important from a European policy point of view, from a marketplace point of view, and from an industry point of view as well? And say, what is the rationale here? Is there a business case for sustainability in terms of your farm being more productive, being more viable? Is there a business case in the marketplace from an Ireland food and drink point of view in terms of how we position and the price that we're able to achieve from the market? And just dig into that a little bit is one of the areas. And likewise, a second discussion we have this year in our Speaker's Corner session is the connection between farmers and consumers. As we go through a number of generations that are probably slightly more removed from being on the land, if you like, and being farming, there is a challenge there for us to make sure consumers stay connected to how Irish food is produced, understands how Irish farming operates, and the work that farmers are doing to produce not only high quality food, but also food that's produced in as a sustainable a manner as possible. So that'll be a really interesting discussion. We're bringing in the likes of the National Dairy Council, Our Food Roots, which both have initiatives in place now to try and educate consumers around how food is actually produced and how food is produced in Ireland more specifically. So I think that would be a really interesting discussion to make sure that farmers don't forget about the consumer and the consumer understands what farmers are doing day in, day out.
And probably no harm to get along to the show as early as you can, because with, what, 700 trade stands there and everything that's going on, it's hard to fit everything in. And it's also a great social and networking event.
It's a fantastic day for the family, really, to be honest with you, Chris. And it's a great day out. The doors are open from 9 a.m. So I'd say get in as early as you can. And it's a really good value day. If you go on to TullamoreShow.com now, you can buy a ticket for €20. For the day, and obviously under 12s go free, and students through the discounted rate as well. So it's a really good value day. It's a day where you can do a little bit of business in terms of what we're talking about, maybe from a sustainable livestock village point of view, but there's a very big social aspect to the day as well. And as you say, in terms of people meeting up with other people, relaxing, hearing a bit of music, having a bite to eat, all in a really good setting there, and a very kind of positive day, I think, about celebrating all that's good in Irish agriculture and in Irish livestock in particular. So I'd recommend everybody next Sunday, now the 9th of August, be there good and early and make sure and pop into the Sustainable Livestock Village.
And finally and briefly, there's also a photography competition.
There is, yeah. We'll actually have the winners of that announced on the day. Now, we ran it for the first time last year, really positive. This year, again, the entries have been even higher than last year. So we have kind of three categories there around sustainable farming in action, generation renewal, and women in agriculture. So really, we have a lot of maybe amateur photographers that have put in some super photographs. I saw them there on Friday myself. A big job to pick the winners, but we'll announce the winners of that on the day. There's a prize for under €1,200 for those. And what we'll do actually within the village on the day, we have a photo wall, as we call it, which will demonstrate or highlight a number of the entries that we receive. So if you put in an entry, make sure and come along and see your own photo up on the wall as well.
And that was Padraig Brennan, the project manager for the Sustainable Livestock Village at the Tullamore Show and FBD National Livestock Show, which takes place this coming Sunday. In other news, IFA Sheep Chair Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher says that rebuilding the national sheep flock, particularly in hill and mountain areas, is the obvious and most effective mechanism to manage uplands and offset the threat of devastating fires. In a statement, he said, abandoned and underutilised land is the single biggest issue when it comes to large-scale fires. Historically, farmers managed these lands through grazing livestock and controlled burning. However, flawed and poorly thought-out policies, as he says, under the narrative of the Green Agenda, have contributed to these devastating fires that have the potential to put lives at risk and force farmers and farming from the hills. Mr. Gallagher added that there is an urgent need to put in place supports for farmers to put sheep back onto the hills to produce lambs and arrest the decline we have witnessed. He said the IFA is seeking a €40 per yo payment for farmers in hill areas who are producing lambs. Meanwhile, this coming Saturday, August the 8th, sees the ever-popular Ardra show, one of the oldest shows in the country. Well, that's it for this week's Farming News and Views. As always, thanks for tuning in. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Farming News and Views is brought to you by K&F Superwools Kilmacrenan. Paying top prices for wool and offering cash on collection. Call 086 809 5820.
And looking at the weather forecast before we go, mostly dry for the rest of the evening with some isolated showers. A mix of cloud and hazy sunshine in light to moderate westerly winds, fresh at times near the coast. Dry tonight apart from some isolated showers, some clear spells but a few mist patches and fog developing. Lows overnight of 7 to 11 degrees Celsius, mostly light southwest breezes, winds freshening near the coast overnight. Staying largely dry tomorrow with a mix of cloud and sunny spells, just some isolated showers. Expect Friday highs of 16 to 18 degrees Celsius in light to moderate southwest winds. Fresher at times, again near the coast. And the main stories this evening. Three men have been extradited from the Republic to the North as part of an investigation into a machete attack at Listnaskee in Fermanagh almost 7 years ago. The men, aged 55, 33 and 29, are wanted to stand trial for offences including grievous bodily harm, aggravated burglary and possession of offensive weapons. A Letterkenny councillor says the impact of active travel works on local businesses must be addressed before any increase in commercial rates is considered. And volunteers at Calais Park and Hub have condemned significant damage caused to the facility by vandalism in recent times. They're the main stories. Back with news again at 7 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices this Thursday evening, August 6th. The death has occurred of Kathleen Graham, Drumlask, Donegal Town, arriving at Lahey Parish Church at 7 o'clock this evening to repose until her funeral. Funeral service in Lahey Parish Church on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private pleas with family, neighbours and close friends welcome from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock this evening and 3 until 9 tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to Lahey Parish Church, care of George Irwin Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Anthony Cannon Tony. Anthony's remains will repose at his nephew Danny Cannon's home in Dunmore, Carrigart, today from 6 until 9. Funeral mass tomorrow at 11 o'clock in St John the Baptist Church, Carrigart, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Sarah McGee, Ardon's Guidor, and formerly of Mina Wheel Crawley. Her remains are reposing at her home in Ardon's until rosary at 8 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until rosary at 8. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass will take place on Saturday at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Mina Wheel, burial afterwards in Maharagalm Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and via MCM Media. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Patient Comfort Fund, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Jane Freely, Nee Duggan, Drumboy Lifford and formerly of Douglas Road, Cork City, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlough Lifford at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 10 o'clock until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Magella McDade, Neat McCrory, Alt Upper Castle Finn. Requiem Mass will be celebrated on Saturday at 3 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Dunnyloop, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. In keeping with the family wishes, the house is strictly private. The death has taken place of John Donegan at 9 Foyle Fold, Limavady Road, Derry. John is reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn. Interment afterwards in St Angus Cemetery, Birt. The death has occurred of Hugh Dick Hilltown at Buncrana. Hugh's remains will be reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock. Funeral from there on Saturday, leaving at 10:20, going to St Mary's Church Cock Hill for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, and donations in lieu, if desired, to iCare Buncrana, care of McKinney Funeral Directors Buncrana. Funeral can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Willie Doherty, John Ned, Ballysella, Kilkenny Mallon, reposing at Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, until 9 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for 10:30 Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ochaclay, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.